Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for the gospel of Christ. Thank God for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God's word has the power to change our lives. God's word has the power to change our lives. Hallelujah. Some folks are in the habit of always casting aspersion on the word of God. Some folks are in the habit of always talking down on the word, on the impact of the word. Some folks are in the habit of maligning the word of God. But the word of God is powerful. The word of God needs no validation from man. God's word self-validates. God's word self-stands. Hallelujah. God's word self-authenticates. God's word is alive. Hallelujah. Some folks are already giving up on the sufficiency of the scriptures. What do you need? You and I, what do we need to live an effective Christian life? What do we need to walk, unto all pleasing? What do we need to live an effective and all-round effective life as Christians? The word, no more. Hallelujah. The word, no more. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work. He says the scriptures are sufficient. Hallelujah. The scriptures are sufficient. God's word is able to build you up. God's word is able to bring you up to spiritual maturity. And God's word is able to poise you. God's word is able to poise you to live an effective Christian life. God's word is able to make you furnished for every good work. Hallelujah. You have to stay with the gospel. I want to refer you back to the second series we had in this broadcast, explaining 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. What is the relevance of Christ and Him crucified to our lives as believers, to our marriage, our businesses, to our lives as citizens of nations? What is the relevance? Hallelujah. What is the relevance of Christ and Him crucified? And go and learn what the Bible teaches concerning those areas of our lives. And I make bold to say that the man that is walking in the word, walking in the spirit, walking in the wisdom of God, that lives his life by the scriptures, hallelujah, will live an all-round effective life as a Christian. A good Christian is a good husband. A good Christian is a good wife. A good Christian is a good citizen. A good Christian is a good parent. A good Christian is a good child. Hallelujah. It's about pursuing Christianity. It's not about trying to make your life work independent of the Christian faith. It's about pursuing sound doctrine till it has an impact and effect upon your life as a Christian. Glory to Jesus. That's what we're talking about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One day, we're going to come to the practicality of God's word. How does the word of God affect all these areas of our lives? God's word is practicable. God's word is alive. God's word is real. God's word changes lives. For real, I'm a product of the impact of the word of God. I'm a life changed by the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So welcome to Every Day with Jesus broadcast. This is episode 67. And we've been studying metaphors for salvation. Sanctification. What exactly is our sanctification? What have we been set apart unto? Glory to Jesus. And in the last episode, I spent some time kicking over the head of sacred cows in the body of Christ. I spent some time debunking some age-long myths concerning holiness. And I showed us in scriptures that whenever it pertains to the outward show of godliness, outward exhibition or manifestation of sanctification and holiness, does not in any way translate into a form of godliness. Hallelujah. It does not in any way translate into a form of godliness. Praise God. Holiness and sanctification in our living, in our daily living, is not all these rules and laws and traditions of men that have been laid down by the church. We have a lot of prohibitions in the body of Christ. The man Paul at 1 Timothy chapter 4 makes us realize that in the last days, certain doctrines will emerge, and he refers to them as doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at this quickly. From verse 1, the Bible says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving ear to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Hallelujah. The man Paul refers to such doctrines as doctrines of devils. And he says men who are going to be proponents of this doctrine are men who have departed from the faith. Glory to Jesus. Men who have departed from the faith. Men who are in the business of forbidding things that are not forbidden in scriptures. Every creature of God is good and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. But there will be men who will come up and begin to teach things, perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves and be prohibiting things that have nothing to do with the scriptures. Glory to Jesus. And you know what? It is always going to be appealing to you because it will appeal to your moral conscience. It will appeal to your moral standards or values. When a man says you should not do this, you should not do that so as to appear godly, it appeals to your morality. And you'll be tempted to obey those things. But if nothing is prohibited or forbidden in the New Testament, we have no biblical basis to prohibit those things. Hallelujah. And holiness, as it pertains to our conduct in the New Testament, has to do with a specific lifestyle, an attitude, a conduct. It is not about putting on a form of godliness. You know, I showed you this in the last episode. I want you to see it again. 2 Timothy chapter 3. A man can possess a form of godliness yet is not walking in sanctification. You're not wearing earrings. You don't use attachments. You don't wear braids. And then, what else? You don't wear gold and all that. And you are still not walking in sanctification, because sanctification is not about an outward show or a form of godliness. It speaks of a lifestyle you put on in Christ. Glory to Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. The word perilous there means difficult times. Perilous. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have you seen? A form of godliness. That is, if we come into your midst, we have an outlook of godliness. The songs we sing, we even pray. Sometimes we pray in tongues. Our meetings seem powerful. We seem to be gathered onto powerful things. A form of godliness. We have a religious outward show of piety, of godliness. Glory to Jesus. We look so devout. But then look at the conduct and attitudes that these men possess. Alongside with the form of godliness, you find a man, Bible says, is unholy. Verse 2, unholy. That is, he's living his life not in sanctification, he's not honoring his body, he's not honoring God in his life as a Christian, he's unholy, he's unthankful, he's unloving, he's unforgiving, he's a slanderer, without self-control, he's brutal, he's a despiser of everything good. Have you seen? Look at this kind of conduct running alongside with a form of godliness. They can coexist. Hallelujah. Because a form of godliness has nothing to do with the mind. A form of godliness is merely an outward performance or show. Glory to Jesus. And you see, this is the state in which many believers have found themselves. Men who have adopted a form of godliness as a lifestyle, void of true spirituality. Glory to Jesus. Most especially women. Women have been under such religious victimization, religious bondage and stronghold, prohibitions here and there, things that have nothing to do with the Bible, except for a few misinterpreted and misapplied scriptures. And we shall see some of them. We saw this in my local church yesterday. When it comes to walking in sanctification, setting ourselves apart unto God as vessels of God, it is about a lifestyle. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. The Bible says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. So you see that the things listed in this place have to do with character, conduct, attitudes. So a million hijab, or a million kaftan, or a million no earrings cannot affect these ones. They can't change anything here. Glory to Jesus. If you choose to not wear trousers, or you choose to wear, whatever you are wearing has nothing to do, it cannot affect any change in this direction. Because these are serious attitude, character deficiencies. Hallelujah. And attitudes are a product of the mind, of the thoughts of the heart, and of the thoughts of the mind. But you see, there's a religious Christian version of Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Trousers, earrings, gold, jewelries, bread, and all that. See, that's a religious version. So the believer that wears earring as a woman, or makes braided hair, or wears gold and all that, or does makeup, you look at the person and you say she's walking in the flesh. But there's no basis for this in the Bible. There's no single basis for this in the Bible, because the works of the flesh speak of specific character deficiencies. The works of the flesh speak of specific character flaws. Hallelujah. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. These are not things you can change by, you know, changing your trouser to a skirt. No, nothing is going to change in your life because you change your trouser to skirts. Or because you have stopped wearing earrings. That's not the problem. Glory to Jesus. A million skirts cannot change anything here. Glory to Jesus. These are attitudes. And you know what? Attitudes flow from the mind, from the thought pattern of the man. Amen. Attitudes flow from the mind. Glory to Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 6 verse 45. Attitudes are a product of how we think. So God's recommendation is that a man renews his mind by the truth of the word of God. If your mind is renewed, your conduct will change. If you don't get busy renewing your mind, and you are busy putting on external things, you are busy fulfilling and satisfying external codes of conduct, you are still not walking in sanctification. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Glory to Jesus. I'll start from verse 43. Bible says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the earth, his mouth speaks. Hallelujah. Of the abundance of the earth, a man brings out from his heart evil treasures. The same man brings out from his heart, the same way a man brings out from his heart good treasures. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus would say to his disciples, it's not anything that goes into the belly that defiles a man, but that which comes from him. He says, from within the man, from within the heart of man, proceed adultery, fornication, murder, envy, you know, lists all those things, and says, you know, these are the things that proceed from the heart of man and defiles the man. So if you are going to address bad conduct, the works of the flesh, you can't be focusing on external laws or codes of conduct. You can't be focusing on changing your dressing. No, that's not the focus. The focus will be on renewing your mind to walk in the truth of the word of God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, look at this now. So our consecration as believers does not begin with how we dress. When a man renews his mind, he knows how to dress. That will not be based on laws or codes of conduct. No, that will be based on the person discerning what is good, approving that which is excellent by a renewed mind. He knows the things to wear. There are certain fashions that are in vogue that the believer knows. He just knows that, see, this is not fitting. Glory to Jesus. Without anybody giving a law or a rule, the person just knows that, no, this is not appropriate. Like I said in the last episode, many of us have a common idea of what is decent. We have a common idea. We know that which exposes the body. We know what unnecessarily amplifies features in the body to a point where it is, you know, it is not good. To a point where it is not acceptable. To a point where it is not decent enough for a godly person. Hallelujah. So we generally have an idea of what is decent. The problem is that people will not make the right choice until their minds are renewed. It's not that they don't know. They know what is right, but they won't make the right choices until they have overcome the lust of the flesh by walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 12. By this I have not said, when you see a Christian person who is dressing indecently, you can't call them to order. But I'm saying, see, on a normal day, the man that is growing in the knowledge of Christ is able to discern what is right for him or her in the area of dressing. Hallelujah. And this is why the Bible does not major on what to wear, what not to wear. You see, the Bible does not major on that. You won't find any place in the New Testament where there's an emphasis on what to wear, what to not wear as a Christian. Glory to Jesus. You won't find such places. The emphasis is on the renewal of our minds, spiritual maturity. Because in maturity, a man is able to discern what is right in such things. Romans chapter 12, from verse 1. Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Have you seen? To present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. It is your reasonable. So, in setting ourselves apart, what are we meant to do? In presenting ourselves to God as living sacrifices, what are we required to do? Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, how do we present our bodies to God? By renewing our minds. See, there's no presenting your bodies to God without the presenting of your mind to the word of God. Hallelujah. Because it's your mind that drives your body. Glory to Jesus. Whatever you are going to carry out in your body or through your body must have been processed through your mind. So we present our bodies to God by paying attention to the word of God. By putting our minds on the word of God. By setting our minds, our affection on the truth of the word of God. By the way, when he says our bodies there, it just means yourself. Glory to Jesus. So the way we present ourselves to God is by the renewing of our minds. Bible says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So a man cannot walk in the will of God unless he renews his mind. This will not come by external codes of conduct, strict religious rules and regulations, denominational rules and conducts, rules and codes of conduct. No, it will come only by the renewing of the mind with the truth of the word of God. Hallelujah. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Glory to Jesus. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 to 5. Look at this. Bible says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 5. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, listen. How are you required to put these things to death? How are you required to subdue and mortify these things? Verse 2. Set your minds on things above and not on things on the earth. So you are not to endeavor to try to put these attitudes aside. You are to set your minds on things above where Christ is seated. That is on your realities, on your positional realities, the things you have in Christ Jesus, your possession, your position, your inheritance, your capacity, your ability in Christ Jesus. As you fill your mind and your thoughts with these realities, you are able to subdue the work of the flesh. Hallelujah. So the goal is not subduing the work of the flesh. The goal is to walk in the Spirit. Glory to Jesus. Now, the walk in the Spirit is our sanctification. When we say we are to sanctify ourselves, we are to walk in sanctification, it's a specific lifestyle, a walk in the Spirit. And I'm going to connect this for you. Glory to Jesus. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It is not about rules. It is not about don't wear this, don't eat this. Mm-mm. It's about a walk in the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Are you still here? Are you still here? Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at this now. I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, finally, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Have you seen? So, what is your sanctification here? It says to abstain from sexual immorality. Now, the question is this. How does a Christian abstain from sexual immorality? Or let me say, how is a Christian expected to abstain from sexual immorality? Is it by struggling? Is it by, you know, codes of conduct? Is it by moral codes of conduct or ethics? Or by walking in the Spirit? Galatians 5:16. So then I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the works of the flesh. So if Bible refers to your sanctification as being possessing your vessel in honor and walking in sanctification and not walking in passion of lust, have you seen the connection? That means your sanctification is a walk in the Spirit. The only way you will not walk in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, the only way you are going to abstain from sexual immorality is if you walk in the Spirit. And this is the problem today, that because there's a de-emphasis on a walk in the Spirit, and people are so loud on what to wear, what not to wear, we have a lot of believers in such places who are still struggling and battling the works of the flesh, struggling and battling with lust. The woman is not wearing trousers, but she's overcome by sexual immorality. Hallelujah. Because the focus is not on the main thing. The focus is not on the renewal of the mind till it bets a walk in the Spirit. The focus is on getting a form of godliness, an outward show of godliness, which is anti-scriptures. Glory to Jesus. It is anti-scriptures. It is anti-Christ. It is anti-the gospel. The gospel is about the walk in the Spirit. Where our sanctification is concerned, where our setting ourselves apart is concerned, it's about a walk in the Spirit. The man that walks in the Spirit is the man that is walking in sanctification. The man that walks in the Spirit is the man that is walking in holiness. A walk in love is a walk in holiness. A walk in gentleness is a walk in holiness. A walk in long-suffering is a walk in holiness. A walk in kindness is a walk in holiness. Because these are the things missing in the world. The world is void and deficient of the love of God. So the way to walk differently and separately from the world is to walk in the love of God, which is a product of walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Galatians 5:16. Let's see. Let's put this together. Then we see a few scriptures that people have used to preach an outward religious form of godliness that has nothing to do with the scriptures. Galatians chapter 5. Glory to God. From verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Have you seen that the only way a man will not fulfill the lust of the flesh is by walking in the Spirit? So what is your sanctification about? A walk in the Spirit. There are not many things. It's about a walk in the Spirit. The man that walks in the Spirit is the man that is walking in sanctification. The man that walks in the Spirit is the man that will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is the man that will possess his vessel in honor and sanctification, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Praise God. So, after listing all the works of the flesh at verse 19 to 21, he goes to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Can a man that is full of the fruit of the Spirit be found defrauding his brother in matters of adultery? Impossible. He's self-controlled. Hallelujah. He's a faithful man. He's self-controlled. Is a man of love. He won't walk in such things. Glory to Jesus. Because he's given to a walk in the Spirit. Look at Romans 13. The love of God does not do harm to a fellow. The love of God does not hurt others. Romans chapter 13. Glory to God. So, rather than emphasize a walk in the Spirit, men are emphasizing a form of godliness that only serves to put up a show, or an appearance, and your lives are not being changed. It's only a walk in the Spirit that changes lives. Romans chapter 13, glory to God. Look at this carefully. Romans 13 from verse 8, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying. Namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So the man that would not commit adultery is the man walking in the love of God. The man that would not steal or murder is the man walking in the love of God. And this love of God is an offshoot of a walk in the Spirit. Listen, you shouldn't attempt to try to walk in the love of God. The love of God is spiritual. That's why the instruction is to walk in the Spirit. The man that walks in the Spirit is the man that will walk in the love of God. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. Hallelujah. Trying to walk in love will not necessarily translate into walking in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you walk in love. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. Hallelujah. How do we walk in the Spirit? By renewing our minds with the Word of God and giving ourselves to prayer. Very basic things. A consistency in your word intake, a consistent prayer culture is what bets a walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So our sanctification is about a walk in the Spirit. If you are to sanctify yourself as a Christian, if you are to set yourself apart as a Christian, if you are to walk in consecration as a Christian, you must be ready to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's what produces the fruit of the Spirit. That's what produces every other character and Christian conduct that is expected of you. Glory to Jesus. Look at this now. Look at this as I begin to close. Hallelujah. So our sanctification is a walk in the Spirit. We're still going to emphasize this in the coming days. But look at this. Let's see a few scriptures that seem to suggest that we can prohibit things for people in the body of Christ. Things that have no basis in the Bible. Hallelujah. Things that have no basis in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Glory to God. 1 Timothy chapter 2. From verse 8. I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair of gold, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. So from this text of the Bible, people have built a doctrine of women not, you know, wearing costly clothing, not adorning themselves with braided hair and gold and all that. But then you are missing the point. Paul was not prohibiting these things. He was showing priority. Hallelujah. He was teaching and instructing godly women to prioritize adorning themselves with good works rather than being adorned with all these things. As a matter of fact, they were already adorning themselves with those things. So Paul is saying, let it go beyond that. Now, if this text of the Bible seems not to be very clear, I mean, 1 Peter chapter 3 clarifies this. 1 Peter chapter 3, glory to God. Bible says in verse 3, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden passion of the earth, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Have you seen that? It says, don't let your adornment be merely outward. Merely outward. That is, it's showing you how that the priority should go beyond the physical adornment of gold and wearing clothes and all that, arranging your hair. You know, in this place, it doesn't even speak of braid. It speaks of arranging the hair at all. Any kind of hair, any kind of hairstyle. Don't let it be merely outward. That is, don't let it just be in the making of good hair and then wearing gold and looking great and looking fantastic. And then when we get to relate with you, we discover that no, hey God, this is a beautiful piece of nonsense. Hallelujah. A beautiful piece of nonsense. Because you are not adorned with the real stuff you are made of in Christ. The real stuff you are made of in Christ is the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. So this is not a teaching that prohibits the use of gold or, you know, costly clothing and all that. No, this is showing the woman what she is meant to prioritize. Rather than just adorning yourself outwardly, make sure you adorn yourself with good works. Make sure you adorn yourself with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Glory to Jesus. Deuteronomy 22, the issue of trousers. Is there really a prohibition on wearing trousers for women in the Bible? And this is the only text of the Bible where you find this. Deuteronomy 22, Deuteronomy 22 verse 5, a woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all who are so, or all who do so, are an abomination to the Lord your God. Glory to Jesus. An abomination to the Lord your God. Now, this is the text of the Bible that many people used to preach against women wearing trousers today. Now, trousers were invented way after this instruction was given. So when the writer of Deuteronomy was saying this, he wasn't talking about trousers that were yet to be in existence. Hallelujah. That's one. Number two, let's assume this is about trousers. There are many other laws in this particular portion of the Bible that we do not practice today. The immediate verses would even reveal to you that today we flout a lot of these laws without paying attention to them. Why do we conveniently choose verse 5 and ignore the rest? For instance, look at verse 9. You shall not sow your vineyard with different kinds of seed, lest the yield of the seed which you have sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. So you are not allowed to practice mixed cropping. Hallelujah. Or mixed cultivation, which we do today. Look at verse 11. You shall not wear a garment of different sorts, such as wool and linen mixed together. Have you seen? We do that today. You wear linen, you wear wool, you wear jeans, and you wear cotton. So you are not allowed to do all that back in the Old Testament. So why do we conveniently choose just one of the laws when we have 613 laws and prohibitions in the Old Testament? Hallelujah. A lot of prohibitions in the Old Testament that we do not live by. Now, I heard a funny one after the service yesterday. Someone walked up to me, or while we were discussing, she said that somebody pointed out to her that number verse 5 is the only one Bible refers to as an abomination to the Lord. That the rest, there's nothing said about abomination or no abomination, but verse 5 is the one Bible says it is an abomination. Now, that's funny. Because if you read other portions of Scripture, for instance, Leviticus 11:20, Leviticus 11:23, Bible speaks of how eating certain animals was an abomination to God. And today, Bible says all those creatures are clean. Hallelujah. You know, Bible speaks of flying, creeping things, which are 4 feet. They shall be an abomination to you. Leviticus 11:41, Bible says, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth shall be an abomination, it shall not be eaten. Leviticus 11:42, Bible says, whoever or whatsoever goeth upon the belly, and whatsoever goeth upon all four, or whatsoever hath more feet, among all creeping things that creep upon the earth, them you shall not eat, for they are an abomination. But you know, today people eat all manner of these things. Yet the Bible refers to them as an abomination in the Old Testament. The truth of the matter is that testament has been set aside, and we are living in the new covenant, where all things have been purified by the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So we can't be cherry-picking instructions or commandments in the Old Testament. If you want to obey one, you must obey all. If we are not obeying any of them, then if we are not obeying all, then we should not be living by any of them. Hallelujah. But then I'm even very convinced that verse 5 is not speaking about trousers, because trousers were yet to be invented at that particular point in time. Glory be to Jesus. So our sanctification is not about rules and conducts and denominational rules and conducts that have nothing to do with the Bible, commandments of men. It is about a walk in the Spirit. I would encourage you to focus on walking in the Spirit. Focus on renewing your mind daily, filling your mind, your thoughts with the Word of God. I want to encourage you to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, because only by so doing would you walk in your sanctification as a Christian. Endeavor to tune in tomorrow. Invite your friends, relatives, colleagues, anybody at all, and let's come again to have a great time in the word of God. Do have a great day of being full of the word, full of the Spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.